Welcome to the Aha Moment with
Erin Backus
and Irene Barber, where we talk to professionals in horticultural therapy and related fields, sharing their journeys of discovering the powerful benefits of working with plants. Sit back and enjoy some inspirational stories accompanied with laughter and refreshments.
And welcome. It is the Aha Moment. I am so excited for this evening. My name is Erin Backus. I have with my co-host, of course, is the wonderful Irene Barber.
Hello, everybody. Happy spring. Happy June.
Oh, crap. It is June, isn't it? Half the year has gone by. We are at episode. That's the way I think about it. Half the year has gone by. We are episode 34. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who've been here for years. We've had some wonderful hosts and wonderful guests, and tonight is no different. We have Siang Yun Tam. She is an instructor and research scholar in the Environmental Horticulture Department at the University of Florida and program manager of the Therapeutic Horticulture Program at Wilmot Botanical Gardens. She received her certificate in horticultural therapy from the University of Florida and is also a certified permaculture designer, which I just learned about. I follow this guy. I'll tell you more about later, but he's really, really cool. In 2019, she founded By Wind and Wave, a company in Singapore, which conducts nature-based programs, including guided walks and therapeutic horticulture program. Siang Yun is an editor of Cultivate. She hopes to someday find a community in the countryside to work and live in agreement with nature. And just so our listeners know that she is across the world, so it is a 12-hour difference for her, and we're so happy to have her so early in the morning for her. Welcome.
So great. Yeah. Siang, are you in Singapore right now then?
I am. So I just got back a couple of days ago.
Okay. Oh, okay. You just got there a couple of days ago. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we had our summer semester begin sometime in early May, and I was doing a little bit of traveling during that time, and so I only got back to Singapore a couple of days ago, so I am a little bit jet-lagged. I'm kind of in between three different time zones right now, so please forgive me if I don't sound very coherent today.
No, you're doing pretty well, so thank you for joining us. And I have this image of Singapore with that World's Fair landscape architecture display where there are these large metal trees. Do you know what I'm talking about? What is that place called?
Yes. So that is called, I'm blanking out right now. Oh, it's called Gardens by the Bay.
Uh-huh.
So it's a beautiful place in Singapore. It's not our national botanical garden, but it is a huge garden, and it's a big tourist attraction, but a lot of locals like to go there too because it houses so many different types of plants from all over the world. And there's a beautiful display, like you mentioned, those big metal trees. Mm-hmm. I think it's every night. It's like a light show that goes on, and all the trees light up. And it's very futuristic, but also a very interesting place to go to if you're into plants.
Yeah, has a little bit of that modern appeal as well as plant world. So that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Tell us, how did you move from Singapore to Florida? And was that your big leap, or have you been going to from Singapore to other parts of the world before you came to Florida?
I have been in other parts of the world before Florida, and it's kind of a long journey. And I would say it's sort of my work with nature and plants has brought me around a couple of different countries for different reasons. But my moving to Florida, or my coming to Florida, I think it was sort of, it was definitely unplanned. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sort of serendipity going on there. And my initial visit to Florida was purely just to finish my internship for my certificate in horticultural therapy. And also that was my intention to fulfill my internship requirements to register for HTR. Mm-hmm. And so initially I only wanted to do this for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was 3 months. That was sometime in 2021. Mm. So it's been coming to 2 years now. Mm-hmm. So it's just supposed to be a 3-month internship with Lee Deal, mm-hmm, at the University of Florida. But I absolutely enjoyed my time there. I learned so much at the greenhouse. I learned so much from Lee. And it was sort of a working relationship between the two of us that I think worked out really well. I was then presented with the opportunity to stay on. And so here I am.
Awesome. Well, she's lucky to have you for sure. And so are you the first therapeutic horticulture program coordinator or manager for Wilmot Botanical Garden?
That is a good question. I am not entirely sure. I want to say yes, because to my knowledge, there have been several interns at the greenhouse, but not any sort of more permanent role besides Lee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so who are the populations that you're serving?
We actually work with quite a lot of different populations at the greenhouse or at the botanical gardens. So, and that's because the programs or the clients that we serve vary from semester to semester based on the funding that we get. So, mm-hmm, for example, let me think. Last semester, we worked with a couple of different new groups. We had a pilot study going on, actually. We had a pilot study with patients with chronic lower back pain. Mm-hmm. And that's something we're still kind of looking into, and we might go on to do a longer study with them in fall, hopefully.
So we also, like any gardener. Sorry. Sorry. Yes. I joke on and on, and I just had to say it, you know?
No, it's true. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, you. I guess you could say that we all suffer from chronic lower back pain in some way. but yeah, so that study was actually, interestingly, a lot of the participants that joined us that day have already some sort of interest in gardening. So that's always a good start, you know, working with, mm-hmm, people who already like plants or have some basic knowledge.
And do they sign up for the therapeutic program independently, or are they part of another like therapeutic program that like then says, hey, you should do the therapeutic program at the greenhouse of Wilmot?
So for that particular group, these are patients of the hospital that is, affiliated with UF. So, mm-hmm, every participant or every patient has to be referred to us by their physical therapist. Mm-hmm. But we also have groups that are open to people to sign up. It's not necessarily participants who are already part of another sort of a therapeutic program. So, okay, for example, we have a student group. This is for UF students, so students at the University of Florida who are suffering or who are experiencing anxiety, stress, or depression. And so a lot of that is basically self-reported. It's not students who are referred to us clinically, mm-hmm, but also we do have students who are recommended to us or who have heard about us through the Counseling and Wellness Center on campus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really important. Lee did share with us a bit about that program and just how wonderful it is that you guys are leading the way for universities to offer that kind of, outlet, because they're doing it at a community college here in Maine from a few other therapeutic horticulture administrators. And so they're following suit for with, you know, along the same lines as you are doing that program. So you have the college students, you have this group of people with chronic back pain. Who are some other populations you've gotten to work with in particular?
That would be, I think, one of the groups that I was really excited to work with and really thankful for the opportunity was to work with a group last year where we were doing our therapeutic horticulture activities on site at a psychiatric hospital. So these were inpatients who were experiencing a variety of psychiatric conditions or mental health issues. So we had quite a large variety of patients, ranging from patients who were suffering or experiencing, sorry, I keep using the word suffering today, but people who have been experiencing psychosis to people with substance abuse issues, or, you know, more commonly experienced conditions like anxiety and stress. So it was quite a large variety of
a psychiatric restaurant hospital. Wow, that would be a fun outlet, a psychiatric restaurant. Sorry, that was a little slip of the terminology, but the psychiatric hospital is definitely a still a very diverse population of people to work with. And so when you got to work with them last year, how long was the term for or period for which you worked with them? And what were some of the outcomes that you noticed that were really inspiring and noticeable?
So we worked with the psychiatric hospital for about 3 months, which was over 12 sessions. So each session was about an hour. And what we did with that group was a little bit different in a sense that typically with our therapeutic horticulture sessions, it's the same group of participants each week. But at the hospital, it's a little bit different because, you know, not all the residents are there throughout the 3 months. And there may be times where some of the patients may not be ready or may not be suitable for a therapeutic session on that day itself. A lot of it really depends on how they are feeling on the day itself.
Yeah.
So, we actually have two groups each time we visit the hospital, and we see some regulars and sometimes we see new faces.
Okay.
So it was a little bit different, for me at least, to be seeing new participants each week, because it's sort of, you know, each week you go, you have to rebuild that relationship with them again. So that's always a challenge. But I think one of the good things that came out of the sessions, actually more than one thing, is, you know, each time we go back to the hospital, the staff would come out and see us and they would all be smiling and they're like, oh, it's the garden people or it's the plant people. And they would tell us how much the residents or the patients are looking forward to coming, you know, either because they've been here before or they've heard about the activities from other patients. And we are hearing that the patients are asking, you know, when is it plant day? Is it plant day? Can we go do some planting today? So there is that excitement that comes from the patients. And I think that's always a great start, you know, to have your participants actually look forward to coming. And one other thing we heard from the staff who work at the hospital is that for a lot of these patients, what they experience during a therapeutic horticulture session is very different from their regular therapy groups, because coming to a therapeutic horticulture session, it's for them, it's really all about enjoying that process, being able to use their hands, being able to work with living material, being able to express themselves creatively without having to talk about their issues, talk right. about the problems, or talk about why they're there all the time. So it's right. really a safe space for them where we allow them, of course, to talk about, and then we encourage them to talk about some of the challenges or some of the struggles that they're facing. But our main goal there is not to focus on their conditions and not to only see them by, you know, by the stress, by the anxiety, by their psychosis, but really to see them as a person, as a whole. And I can definitely see that, you know, just from the way we interact with them. And, you know, they have produced so many beautiful creative pieces of work, you know, be it artwork or being able to grow some plants in whatever limited space they have. So that's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. Oh, amen. That is awesome. That's great. And so normally we ask, you know, kind of like their process or your journey of discovering horticultural therapy, your aha moment or moments. But as you were talking about that, I kind of want to just ask Erin to interlude here with her question, because it pertains to your populations that you work with. And I think Erin's question that she asks is timely right now, actually. So why don't you ask that, Erin, and then we'll move on to the journey process.
Interesting twist there.
Yeah.
Irene always surprises me, you know, that's what keeps our relationship going. When working with all of, you know, these different populations, and you get such a unique location because you work in a botanical garden, you work in a university, so you have access to a lot of different kind of plants. What is your favorite plant to use in these sessions with your clients?
That is such a difficult question. I have to think about this a little bit, because for me, when I'm working with our groups, I don't typically have a favorite plant to work with, but I definitely like to work with plants that are sort of in season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One nice thing about what we have here at Wilmot is, you know, we have this huge greenhouse where we can plant, you know, a lot of more tropical plants. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think, you know, tropical plants is a big thing now, indoor plants. Where I'm from in Singapore, tropical plants are the plants that we grow outside. We don't grow them in a greenhouse.
They're your general landscape plants for you.
Yeah, Singapore. They are just general landscape plants, everyday plants are tropical plants. Yeah. So I would definitely say that I do have a special place in my heart for tropical plants. I love them. I know a lot more about them. But being here in Florida, you know, learning about different plants, obviously a lot of the plants that we grow here at Gainesville are different from what we grow back in Singapore. Mm-hmm. There's definitely an overlap there, but also, you know, we're working with a lot of new plants, and I like that. And I think being able to grow plants that are in season helps the participants, because firstly, they are familiar with some of those plants that we grow because they see them everywhere they go. Some mm-hmm. of them already grow them at home. Another thing is growing plants that are in season kind of keeps us time, you know, in that space-time continuum where, you know, we're growing plants that would grow successfully during that time, and we are growing plants that may or may not have some sort of a cultural relevance to the participants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely go with that, you know.
Yeah, and if they're in a hospital too, when you're doing something that's according to the season or the celebrations that may be happening at that time of the year, you're connecting them to the outside. You're keeping them connected to that relevance of what everybody else outside the hospital is, you know, experiencing or excited about as far as the plants go. So that,
yeah,
that may be subconscious, you know, you may not even realize that, but I think that could be a nice connection too. That's just, assumed in a way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you were spot on, you know, just being able to connect them back with whatever's going on, whatever's going on outside. And for some of our groups also, because we do have a very special group at the Greenhouse, which is what we call the alumni group. Mm-hmm. And this alumni group is, they're not alumni of the university, but they're alumni of the therapeutic horticulture groups at Wilmot. Because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, from time to time, our funding sources may change. And that also means that some of the groups may end because of the lack of funding. Mm-hmm. So the alumni group was a group that Lee came up with several years ago to combine all the other groups that have concluded. And it's just a group for returning participants who still enjoy coming to our sessions. And this group is made up of, you know, participants from all over the state or all over the city with various needs. So we have, you know, participants who may be suffering from memory disorders, participants with Parkinson's, or dementia, and some participants maybe with other sort of medical conditions. And so a lot of them may not have that sort of social group outside of what they have at the greenhouse. So coming together and using plants, you know, that are seasonal or that are relevant to certain festivities, that can also be a way to really get them to connect with one another and stay relevant and just
and have a support network at the same time. So
So
let's talk about your journey. What were some of your aha moments, if there was more than one? And maybe, you know, was it as soon as you were, you know, a child and you were gardening with your family, or was it in your professional realm that you realized horticultural therapy existed? And how it meant to you, what it meant to you in the beginning?
I think both of you might have heard this a lot, but I think horticultural therapy found me and not the other way around. Mm-hmm. And you're right in saying that, you know, a lot of it started from a very young age. I grew up surrounded by plants. We have a little garden at home and we've always had plants. My aunt who lives with us, she loves orchids. So I've always seen orchids in the garden. We've had bonsais in the garden. We used to have two big casuarina trees in the garden. So, you know, we always had plants growing up. And coming from a generation that spent a lot of time outdoors, you know, we would be climbing trees, we would be picking mangoes, and just spending a lot of time exploring the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Working with plants was something that just came very natural to me, but I never actually got into gardening until a very, very late age, or very much later in my adulthood. So, you know,
you can't say late age. You're not that old.
We're not ages people. I just
That's a sensitive word. All right. So I did not start gardening until I was probably in my late 20s.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, plants were around me, but they were just kind of a backdrop. I did not pay a lot of attention to them.
Right.
So I didn't come from, you know, a horticultural background or a plant science background, but it was just something that kind of grew along with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that aha moment maybe came when it was after my first official long-term job. So I was trained in linguistics. I did my master's in translation and interpreting studies, and I worked as a translator for a couple of years after I completed my master's. And it was a very fulfilling job, but it came to a point where I was not very happy with what I was doing. I felt very disconnected from the world, or very disconnected from nature. I felt like, you know, the corporate world just wasn't for me. And that was the first time, I think, that I really thought hard about wanting to spend more time in nature intentionally. Mm-hmm. And that was when I did my first woofing. Have you heard of woofing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Where did you go?
Yeah, so woofing, for those who don't know, I see Aaron's like, wait,
that's wolfing.
wait. No, I did not become a dog. Wolfing. So wolfing stands for worldwide opportunities on organic farms. So it's basically an initiative where you work, or rather you don't use the word work.
It's a volunteer kind of living stipend farming opportunity.
Yes, exactly. So you go live on a farm, you work with the people on the farm, often in exchange for food and accommodation.
Yep, I heard that.
And the first time I did wolfing was in France. I was there for a little under a month. That was my very first experience. I enjoyed it so much that I went back again and again and again.
Parlez-vous français un petit peu?
Oui, un petit peu.
Oh my gosh, you guys, stop showing off. I know.
In fact, I just got back from my very first wolfing host. I visited them, and this is our 10th year anniversary as I went back to visit them again.
That's fantastic, Xian.
Yeah, so long story short, throughout that first experience, you know, it was when I really got back in touch with nature again. Although some may argue that, you know, it's agriculture, it's not nature, it's man-made, but I think that connection that the people that I met on the farm have with nature goes far beyond just growing food.
It's
understanding everything about nature and understanding how it works.
And the soil. They are so in touch with the soil and the terroir. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
Exactly. You know, it's connection with the food they eat, connection with the nature around them. And that changed me a lot in terms of how I view nature and my own personal relationship with nature. Mm-hmm. So coming back from that wolfing experience, I quit my job. I went into urban agriculture in Singapore. I did that for a couple of years. And from there, I eventually took over the educational arm of the company that I was working for, or rather the startup that I was working for. And through that educational part of my job, my role was, you know, engaging people in urban farming activities and gardening. And my personal goal as I was in that role was really to reconnect people with nature, not so much just, you know, teaching them the technicalities of growing food, because people in the past, they've been growing food for decades, for centuries, without learning about the technical skills.
Exactly.
Right? Got your hands dirty, put a seed in the soil. You know,
Learned through the trial. They learned through the process. Yeah,
exactly. And for me, that was important in the educational programs that I was putting out. But what was most important was that connection with nature. So throughout those programs, we've had a lot of opportunities to work with some of the groups that as a horticulture therapist, you find that you will work with as well. But back then, you know, I wasn't a horticultural therapist. I knew nothing about horticultural therapy. I was just providing opportunities for people to garden and at the same time learn more about themselves, learn more about how nature can heal them or how nature can help them. So some of those groups that I worked with at that time included, you know, youths at risk, young adults with autism, older adults with dementia. So a lot of these groups came and we used growing food as the tool, but a lot of it was, you know, giving them that safe space to interact with one another, to interact with us, to interact with nature, and just to find, you know, ways to heal themselves in whatever way that they needed.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Yeah, you really went full force. As soon as you saw the efficacy of it, you just went for it. And so you were interested in becoming a registered horticultural therapist then, the next step, essentially? And does Singapore have a network, or did you have to come right to the United States for that?
So in Singapore, we do not have any form of a network or association that is related to horticultural therapy. In fact, horticultural therapy is very new to Singapore. It's not really a profession or a form of therapy that is known to many people. But in Singapore, we are starting to look into therapeutic horticulture. In fact, the National Parks Board here in Singapore has been conducting therapeutic horticulture sessions for a number of years right now. That was also how I got to know about horticultural therapy. Mm-hmm. So in my previous job, mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to collaborate with the National Parks Board for one of our programs. And from there, I met someone who subsequently actually introduced me to Lee Deal told me about the program. So that was right when she was about to start the undergraduate certificate program at the University of Florida. Perfect timing. And just an opportunity that came up at the right time for me as well. So I grabbed it. So I think there's definitely a lot for us to learn from the United States here in Singapore in terms of horticultural therapy. So
you're not far from Australia. So I wonder if you guys can ever have like a joint effort with the Australians too, you know, with their therapeutic horticulture programs that they have. So, you know,
that would be a great opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I am so thrilled that you could share with us your journey. And it sounds like it's just really starting. I mean, you have had a lot already, but you're really taking off. I mean, this Wind and Wave by Wind and Wave business that you're starting for connecting people to nature and horticulture. I think you're going to be quite the leader for Singapore, it sounds like. So I hope Lee doesn't lose you too soon, though.
Yeah, I hope not too. I think definitely I would like for more development in that therapeutic horticulture or even hopefully horticulture therapy in some time to come in Singapore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, it's just the beginning for me. I'm still learning and I have so much more to learn. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, on that note, Siang Yu and Tom, thank you so much for your contribution to our practice and profession. And thanks for sharing a little bit of it with us this evening, or AKA both. This 7 a.m. hour at your time.
Very evening, people.
Yeah, thank you both for having me.
Yeah. Spread the word about our podcast, please.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Such a wonderful night we just had, or morning for some people. We can't wait to hear from our listeners. If you have more ideas of people we could interview or you want to learn about, please send them to us. We are on Instagram at the Aha Moment. Please follow us. Please follow us on Podbean. That's where our podcast really goes. And what else? That is it. Have a wonderful night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.